first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast. Don't adjust your sets. This week I'm taking over hosting duties from Jim, although unfortunately he is still here.
And you are? Sorry, I always get Kane for not introducing everyone.
My name is Michael Coxon. We're here with Dan Silver.
Hello.
Jerome Mundell.
Hello.
James Staples, as mentioned.
Yep.
And Stuart Hutt. Show 97, I've got it.
No, I think we should just say, sorry, that there is a reason why Stuart Hall's not here today. It's because it could have happened already.
It hasn't happened already. I'm pretty sure it's not happened.
He's giving you a live commentary, isn't he?
No.
Stuart's been induced into labour.
So Stuart Hall is giving birth today.
The youngest and most immature of all the podcasters, which is saying something.
Very,
and
a lot.
He's having a baby.
Certainly the most likely to eat their own baby as well.
Yeah.
Surely by the end of the day, he will be.
And there are rumours, it's our 97th show, there are rumours that for our 100th, Stuart Hall is going to eat 100 hot dogs live in a pub.
Although he does that most weeks anyway, isn't that impressive. That's why he never talks. 1997, he was on show 97.
When I think 97, I don't really think...
It was a bit of a blip of a year, but it does have one of my favourite...
After the Euros, between the World Cup and France.
One of my favourite FA Cup games of all time. Semi-final, second division Chesterfield, took on a Middlesbrough side containing the likes of Ravanelli, Janino, Emerson, Clayton Blackmore.
Yeah, Chesterfield had the likes of Kevin Davis and Kevin Francis. No, who was the massive guy up front? Was it Kevin Francis?
We'll have to look into that. But they were playing Old Trafford, went 2-0 up, semi-final, Chesterfield.
Hit the ball.
Andy Morris and Sean Dyche taking a penalty.
Sean Dyche, he was a great player as well.
He only took the penalty because he was their captain. Nobody had taken a penalty all season, so he stepped forward as captain, put his foot through
it. What a lad.
They hadn't had a pen all season.
Not had a pen all season.
When they won at Old Trafford as well.
Middlesbrough. Yeah. Although Brian Robson was the manager, so you'd think there'd be some goodwill there. Chesterfield were 2-1 up because Middlesbrough put one back through Ravanelli when John Howard had a perfectly good goal disallowed, bounced over the line, would have put them 3-1 up against the 10 men of Middlesbrough, would have been through. Went back to 3-2 to Middlesbrough, and in the last minute, Jamie Hewitt, the only Chesterfield-born player in the side, defender, and now Chesterfield's physio, scored.
Chesterfield's physio. Is good knowledge. That's interesting.
Took them to a replay, which they did lose 3-0, but man of the match that day was, and he was at the time, a nippy young striker called Kevin Davis.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, did they, is that the season where Middlesbrough got to two finals and went
and got relegated because they had points deducted for not turning up against Blackburn?
Yeah, lost both games.
When we say not turning up, you don't go, this other team didn't even turn up.
They literally didn't turn up. Yeah, Steve Evans didn't turn up the last two games at the stadium.
It's terrible.
Because the fat twat's been banned from the stadium.
Leave it, Steve Evans.
It's all right. Let's go on to the weekend. It's been a big week of football. I think the best place to start, really, is a Loftus Road.
Really? Do we have to?
Well, I think we've got to mention it. It was another handshake.
I thought you just meant QPR keeping a clean sheet. That was right.
To be fair, great start from old Julio Cesar. He made some great saves.
Was it his first touch? Was a save down to his left?
Yeah, great save.
Have we mentioned already that QPR's two goalkeepers are both named after a salad?
Yes.
Mentioned that last week, don't worry.
It seems that Caesar's better than Green, but the whole handshake thing, I mean, for a start, I think it's very sad. I completely stand by Anton Fernand for not shaking the hands, but I think it's very sad.
I like what Ashley Cole did. Ashley Cole pretended to look away. He was like,
spat. Spat behind him.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Spat. I thought he was like, what's that, mate?
No.
Missed him.
I don't know. It was very well timed. Obviously, it's all speculative, but just as he's missed him on the handshake, straight away he's turned away and spat. And you're thinking, you scummy bastard.
Well, it's a bit sad that 22 grown men can't just shake their hands and get on with a game of football.
I still think it's absolute. I think the whole thing's bollocks.
They keep talking about being traditional. It's only been in for about 4 years.
It's a load of rubbish.
3 years, and it's like sportsmanlike and fair play and all that.
I mean, we play football. I don't shake the guy's hands before the game. You shake your hand
after the game.
Thanks for a good game, but you don't shake your hand before a game. It's a load of rubbish.
I did find it quite funny that Jason Park refused to shake John Terry's hand.
Did he?
Because he was captain for the day, Jason Park.
He's a captain. He's a captain.
Yeah. And when they were in the centre circle, he shook hands with all the refs and then just sort of looked at John Terry and looked away.
Oh, wouldn't
shake his hand. God knows why. Obviously, he's standing by his player. But although Joey Barton did it last season as well. But then most people wouldn't shake Joey Barton's hand.
You see, supposedly Suarez.
You wouldn't want Joey Barton and John Terry to shake out in case they become some sort of super cap.
Oh, yeah. They meld into one.
You can't say super.
Well, you just repeated
it. I went super.
I'm not the host. It's up to Mike to put me in order.
I'm not going to stop you. I quite find it quite funny. I think we've got a title for the show now.
Might have to be some expletives on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you see that supposedly Suarez and Evra are set to shake hands?
I just don't want to know news about it. Let's just get on with it.
It is a load of rubbish.
That brings us on. You're very good at segueing to other stories, aren't you, Dan? You're a natural. It's what you were born to do. The other thing you were born to do is score hat tricks in shitty little games on a Wednesday night.
I don't know if anyone noticed, but I played last night. I scored a hat trick.
Dear, oh dear. But no, I have to say, I was very disappointed. Although there's been umpteen defences of how it wasn't a Hillsborough chant, which I personally think is a load of rubbish, to hear the United fans chanting last weekend.
I missed that call. Is it only a small pocket of
It is always a minority, and you always will get those idiots at United or Liverpool or Chelsea or Gillingham or Aston Villa or anywhere, especially at Tottenham.
Never at Tottenham.
It's very disappointing, and obviously with the game this weekend.
Yeah, do you know what? I think it was yesterday in Metro. Colin Murray, I think, he's got a column in the Metro.
Sorry, what's happening? They were chanting.
Always a victim, it's never your fault.
Really?
Which was a chant that started around the whole Evra and Suarez thing. Yeah, they chanted at Old Trafford at the weekend, a lot more vocally than has been chanted.
Yeah, and there's obviously connotations towards it, isn't there? Yeah. Because of what's happened recently, but. No, I was reading Colin Murray's column in the Metro yesterday, and I quite liked it. What he basically said was, you can't stop the minority, the idiots, chanting stupid stuff. But what we can do, everyone else can sing that little bit louder about better stuff. You know, instead of just singing.
Yeah, Colin Murray's idiot, though, isn't
he? He had a good point. Yeah. He had a good point. If you've got a couple of people singing, you're only always a victim, it's not your fault, we'll get the other lot singing. You know, glory, glory, Man United. At the top of your voice, so you drown it out.
Last night, the whole stadium started chanting, "There's only one Darren Fletcher" when he came on.
That's lovely.
That would have easily drowned out. Obviously not that chant, but
level. I just think you can't stop the minority, but at least drown them out because no one cares. Like, you don't want to interest that thing. But it was lovely to see the reception Darren Fletcher got last night.
Yeah,
it was. He deserves it.
Oh yeah, fella. I mean, he's been a great servant to the club. He's had a terrible affliction, and while I don't think he's probably over it because he's going to have to manage it through diet and exercise and whatnot. Yeah. It's wonderful to see him back. He was a bit crap when he came on, but we'll forgive him that for 10 months out.
We're talking about the Man United game at the weekend. The man discovered by the Football Podcast, more specifically me, did a bit.
Lovely little goal.
I've seen him score better. Alex scored two better at Gillingham, but
next Paul Scholes, apparently.
When he was a forward, when he was at Crewe, he was a deep line forward, but
similar to Paul Scholes was early in his career.
Ferguson will manage him and put him and build him up where he wants, but he's going to play for England, isn't he? Look, if he's getting in the Man United team, scoring on his debut, Fergie's brought another.
It was interesting because there was two debut goals for United. Alex Bootner, the left back, who is
he looks
proper United player. He's a bit daft, he runs around a lot, he looks quite skillful, maybe a bit suspect in defence. He's a United fullback that we'll take to. But when was the last time two debutants scored in the same game?
Oh, is this a little fact you've got?
Well, I don't have the fact. No, I'm genuinely curious.
If I was hosting, I'd have launched it.
And
then I'd have been, well, actually.
You know, if you've been around at the weekend to watch some football, maybe you'd be hosting. Right?
Are you talking about... Sorry, I was at a game on Tuesday. What's the last live game you went to?
Last live football game? No comment.
How is that tumbleweed?
But no, genuinely, if anyone out there does know of what of their team having two debutants,
it's not bad. So you'd presume probably on the first game of the season.
I'm sure there may have been one or two, but
and especially Portsmouth. I bet if they scored twice in a game this season, all of their month contracts are out.
I was reading about that earlier today. Actually, you see, they've the administrators, PKF Bank. Have received a fifth formal bid for the club. This time it's from a firm called Portco Limited, a group of UK investors. Yeah.
What's that? What are they called?
Portco.
Oh, I thought it was Portco.
Is it based in Pompey then? If it's Portco.
No. Portco, a group of UK investors fronted by Scottish businessman Harry Kerr. Apparently they've shown 6.47 million as proof of funds, but it looks like ex-owner Balaram Chainry's form Port Pin are still the front runners. But it's still, so there's
I have to say, if there's one thing I've learned from the Rangers debacle, it's when you hear the phrase Scottish businessman related to a football club, run a mile. But talking of rare occurrences, Tottenham got a win.
They did!
Yes, finally, AVB, greatest manager in Tottenham's history.
Yeah, funny enough, something like that.
Really, goalkeeper did a bit as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
That one,
did.
The double save. Taking a piss.
Oh.
When he gave the ball to Defoe, Sigurdsson, I don't know. Great stop on the line.
I was doing an honourable thing. I was visiting my 93-year-old nan in North London on Sunday afternoon.
She got Sky then, yeah.
No, which is what's really annoying. So I met up my old man up there. I'll tell you what, trying to find a pub in North London, in Finchley, Highgate, with Sky Sports is an absolute nightmare. Ended up driving around 45 minutes, listened to the first half of the radio, so I actually missed what you were talking about there, Jim. But managed to find the most scummy, old-school, old-man's boozer you've ever seen there towards Archway for the second half. Sat in a corner with a load of pissed-up old geezers trying to talk to us about the footy, but basically sort of going Andre Villas-Boas drunk.
One thing on that, how was your nan?
Yeah, she's good, thanks, mate. Yeah. She's really good form.
93?
Yeah, really good form.
Was she in puns, people?
No. Fuck off. But the second half, to be fair, what I saw was very good. Like, we played well, but Jermaine Defoe's second goal was a great running finish.
Yeah.
Hopefully Dembele's a player, isn't he?
I told you, he really is.
There's
a player.
There's only two Moussa Dembele's.
You're right. it was good. It was good to get the first win. I'm looking forward to the game tonight against Lazio because apparently we're putting a strong team out.
Yeah. It's about time somebody took the Europa League seriously.
Like, they're top of the league, Lazio. Joint.
What channel's out?
ITV2.
No,
it's back to back. So it's Liverpool at 6, and straight after
Spurs at 8.
ITV2, I think.
Speaking of even rarer currencies and great new Belgian signings, Aston Villa got a win.
Yay!
Is he a Belgian signing or is he the guy from Chesterfield? Because we've been taking a lot of stick on Twitter for this.
No, he's Benteke. He's a 21-year-old Belgian international. He missed a little bit of a sitter first half.
I thought you were talking about the guy who scored the volley.
No, he's from Sheffield United.
So that's the one I was on.
Yeah, we had a little bit of banter about one of our listeners.
Yeah, who tried to give
it a bit of banter, then got shot down by Stuart Hall.
Oh, is it?
And not a lot of people get shot down by Stuart Hall.
So missed a sitter, this Benteke, and the first up, and scored quite a decent finish, one on one with the keeper. So. Apparently he was unplayable, Paul Lambert said, so hopefully more to come from him.
Andy Johnson's unplayable at the moment.
Oh, wow, that's sad.
It's his cruise ship, isn't
he? Yeah, ACL.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it's not funny.
Serious injuries, yeah.
Well, some of them are funny.
Well, your one was.
Stephen Ireland, how did he injure himself last? tripped over the grass.
No, that was Jermaine Genius.
Fair enough. My big thing from the Premier League, Southampton, to go to Arsenal and score three goals.
Not many teams
are going to do that this season. So. Unfortunately, they lost 6-1, obviously, but to score three goals is pretty handy.
It's looking grim, isn't it, for Southampton?
I don't know. Like the manager said, they've played Man City, Man United and Arsenal. They would have expected to get nothing out of that. He did leave out the Wigan at home. He literally said, we played these, I think our season starts, they've got your lot, Aston Villa are home
the weekend.
Things are looking up.
Having a discussion with one of my friends, and he reckons that they're going to be a bit of a Blackpool, like play good football, entertain a lot of people, but don't actually win a lot of games.
Possibly.
So is that the way to go? Because he's won back-to-back promotions and playing that type of football. Does he change it for the Premiership to stay up? Or does he just keep it as it is and sort of lose a lot of games probably and concede a lot of goals and go down?
Positive for them. So,
Standout performances.
Standout performances, that's what we're going to move on to. I'll start with you, Jim, because you will probably move us down the lead.
Are we doing from the weekend or
from the last show? Yeah.
I don't talk about my own club a lot. And the only time we actually mention it these days is when you lot bring it up and say you've done well again.
That's great, so we'll move on.
my standout is Gillingham at the moment. It's ridiculous. If we were in any other league, we've got 19 points.
Bloody hell.
We've only dropped 2 points. We've got 19 points out of a possible 21.
You are flying.
If we were sitting in any other league, we'd be like massively clear. As it is, there's quite a lot of teams chasing us in our league. We're only 3 points ahead of two other teams. We're 6 points ahead of... So we won 4-0 at the weekend on Saturday. First game this season that I've missed.
It's really unexpected from your point of view, isn't it? Right from the beginning of the season, this kind of start?
Not completely unexpected. I thought we'd be up near the playoffs. But yeah, the start we've had has just been phenomenal. And then we won 1-0 on Tuesday night against... We had only 10 men for the whole of the second half against Southend. And Southend played awfully. They were awful, but their squad, and on paper, they should be up there at the end of the season.
Bit of a six-pointer of the weekend.
Yeah. Well, massive game of the weekend. So we were at Port Vale on Saturday, who were second in the league, and have only dropped a few points themselves. So they're only 3 points behind us. So, standout performance easily. That. A couple of other ones that I want to mention. Blackburn. Apparently, before they played Bristol City, they were saying that he was one loss from the sack.
Yeah.
They won 5-2 at Bristol City. 5-3 at Bristol City. And then they won 2-1 again on Tuesday night with Gomez and Rowe scoring again.
Well, I was going to mention Blackburn and more specifically Nuno Gomez as my performance because I thought when they signed Nuno Gomez,
he was a bit
of a homeless man's Filippo Inzaghi. He's not even a poor man. He's lightweight, plays off the shoulder, often offside, but he's been banging the goals in.
Yeah, and Rhodes just like
Rhodes. Jordan Rhodes looks like
he got two at Bristol City, and I think he got one of the ones against Barnsley. Barnsley aren't great away, but there you go.
He might be a very expensive signing, Rhodes, but he's starting to look like he's worth the money if his goals can get them back up.
In the Premiership,
Steve Keane.
We've always said that.
What about you, Jay?
One more. Blackpool still cracking on.
Yeah.
Got a win 4-1 against Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough were in a really good bit of form. And Hull City. Because Blackburn and Blackpool getting all these credit.
Plaudits, yeah.
Hull City are absolutely flying at the moment.
Well, Hull City, aka the former Man United 11.
Mr. Plasticine, Steve Bruce, moulding them into something that is doing pretty well at the moment.
It's not looking too bad. What about
and
you,
to
Jay?
Win at Leeds on Tuesday night.
Mine was actually going to be Blackpool.
Hull.
And one more quick one to mention Cardiff. Since our last show, they've beaten Leeds at home and Millwall away. That's not a bad going.
That's got to be the most lovable teams playing a three-way tournament.
You know that the Welsh police were just like, right, let's just get two horrible fixtures
together.
Because when Cardiff travel away, they take their own police with them. And they've got Palace away this Saturday, so a lot of them will probably be staying in London. Yeah. And interestingly on Cardiff, while I'm on there, all of their games have been shown live on Malaysian TV, every single game.
Really?
Because you know this deal they realise to turn the red. So it's brilliant for Cardiff fans, because it's so easy, because of all these people that stream the games, they've got a live stream of every game this season, no matter where they're playing, they can watch which is quite cool.
It's not so good for the club, really, though, is it? Because if you're a Cardiff fan and you've got a choice to see watching on the internet or going to the game, especially when you're not happy with how the club's being run at the moment.
Yeah, potentially. And also, the money that you get from it has got to be shared between all 92 minus the 20. You don't have to pay the premiership. 72 league.
Master with the football podcast.
Yeah, we got there in the end. Whatever you're looking up on your phone, Dan Silva,
it's driving me mad.
It's got to be good because he hasn't said anything since the first 5 minutes.
Oh, we'll go on.
What are you trying to find out?
I can't remember. I think I know what the lad's name is. Just driving me mad. Anyway,
Gillingham are getting some money for that 72 league clubs to be shared. Malaysian are paying.
There's a big club. Old population in Malaysia as well.
Yeah,
happy days.
I don't think they're all watching, to be honest.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think they're all, especially when they've got Premier League football that they can watch at the same time.
Jay, finally, what's your
stand-up
for?
I was going to mention, no. You've had enough. You're not even hosting as well.
Don't argue with Dark Temptation.
Port Vale are doing really well. Fleetwood away. Let's stop it.
Right, okay. I don't think there's any teams left for your stand-up.
Well, I'm going to go for a player now, actually. It was from last night. It was Oscar. I thought you'd play.
I haven't seen the goal yet.
Oh, mate. For an 18-year-old. On his Champions League debut and the confidence that he had.
Award winning from Oscar.
It was a crutch. No, I got it.
You can tell he's not the academy anymore.
It was a sort of the old Cruyff turn that's beaten two defenders around him.
Andrea Pirlo.
And he's just bent this in the top right hand. He's looking at the ball. He knows where the goal is, back to goal. He's had a touch, turn.
It was wonderful.
He got
two last night. He didn't quite get a hat trick. No. Someone did get a hat trick last night.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, God.
But if that was
your standout performance of the week, I quit.
Oh, come on.
Because you've not looked anything else.
No, I have. No, I've got loads.
He's been doing it for 15 minutes.
No, okay. So, right, I'm back in the game. One of them's got to be Dimitar Berbatov.
Yeah.
The first goal was
a great goal.
He just made it look so easy.
But that is Berbatov. When he was at Spurs, he makes everything look so easy. But
I'd quite like to see him have sex. Berbatov. Really slow.
Just Berbatov. You'd like to see him have a one.
A bit like Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh, Zlatan. He was so happy to score. That was in many ways a standout performance.
Literally.
I don't know if you've seen the photo. It will probably be the photo for this week's show because it is.
Basically, after scoring a decent goal for old PSG, it would appear that Ibrahimovic got that excited that he got a little lob on.
Little lob on?
You're right, a massive lob on.
If you've heard the phrase, massive it was better than sex, well, that is the embodiment of the phrase.
That's our stand-up performance.
Stand-up performance of the week.
Anyway,
sponsored by Pele. Get help, I would.
I thought Berbatov with his two goals, fantastic. Annoyingly, as much as it pains me to say, Arsenal 6-1 win over Southampton, they were rampant.
Southampton or Arsenal?
Arsenal.
For Southampton were pretty rampant, as we've already discussed.
You know, it's a shame, because they haven't got any points this season so far, but I mean, they've put in some great displays. Last week was an anomaly. I mean, they scored two own goals, poor buggers.
I think Atkins is erecting a decent team at Southampton. I know you're not talking about Southampton.
My only concern with Southampton is they're putting two...
Erect.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. You're putting two... They're putting two big fronts against United and City.
Yeah, they really did.
But a lot of teams are going to raise their game.
Yeah.
I mean,
to be fair, going to Arsenal is a hard one anyway. Hard one.
Right, no, but my actual standout performance of the week is, Brighton Hove Albion, my hometown, who were sitting third in the Championship.
Poirier versus Zola.
And more importantly, their new right back, who I think is called Bruno, which is what I'm trying to work out. I'm pretty sure his name's Bruno.
Is his surname Frank?
No. He looks a proper player, their new right back.
Did they get him from Spain or something?
Yeah, somewhere in Spain. Mikhail Smith's goal, he's danced down the right touchline, beat two players, cut inside, and literally laid on the most perfect pass, splitting pass, for a cutback for Mikhail Smith to score. I mean, he was magnificent and looks a real, real player for Brighton Hove Albion. And, you know, sitting third in the Championship, when only their second season, I think Gorney Albion doing really well.
Well, I think even with all this, and before we go on to stand-down performances, we haven't even gotten to the Champions League yet.
No.
And my stand-down performance is Roberto Mancini.
I agree.
After
the
game.
I could not agree more.
I think Joe Hart, from what he said, we've only got ourselves to blame. Well, yes, the players, they're taking responsibility. That's what the fans want to hear.
He has just had an absolute blinding 90 minutes, Joe Hart. Nowhere near at fault for the last goal.
I think his performance is overhyped, but I think the criticism given to the mistake was overhyped. Because who was it in front of him? Ducks.
Company's almost on his knees, right? And then
Ibrahimovic wasn't standing here. Wasn't really?
But he's crouched down and so he's ducked under a shot that would have been. It was harder to get out of the way than it was just to let it hit him in the face. Yeah. And obviously, Joe Hart, as I said, Ronaldo hits it with a bit of clout, doesn't he? So before Joe Hart knows it, it's over his head, under his hand. But I felt so sorry for Joe Hart after the game, because as much as I'm really glad Real won. He come off the pitch after a minute. Two minutes after the game's finished. The guy's devastated at what's happened. He said, "Well, his heart on his sleeve." Gave his honest opinion.
Yeah.
You can't be 2-1 up. Someone like at Real as well. You can't be 2-1 up with five minutes to go and lose a game 3-2. It's unacceptable. And he's right. It is unacceptable.
At least the buggers know how we feel after they did it to QPR last season.
But you know, I thought it was I a lot of respect. I love Joe Hart. Anyway, I think he's a great lad.
I think what he came out and said was very honourable.
I like honest footballers that come out and speak how it is. You don't want to hear it was all emotion. All the media, oh this, that, and the other, and all the T-shirts. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear the honest opinion.
Mancini coming out and saying, "I am the judge, not Joe Hart. He should stick to standing goal. I get to criticise my team or not." Do you know what? Fuck off, Mancini. Like, well, you weren't on that pitch. You didn't display that game, and you can see the passion in Joe Hart. And now I'm quite passionate about it as well, to be honest, because I thought it was lovely.
I thought it was a good.
You got to remember, Mancini absolutely hates Mourinho and vice versa.
Yeah.
From back in their time in Italy, they hated.
It said in the Mirror that Mancini is somewhere between Rafa Benitez and Arsene Wenger in Mourinho's hatred.
Yeah, it's not.
I think that sums it up quite well.
I did love the Mourinho knee slide though. I love Jose Mourinho just because he's such a character. And you could say he's such a wanker, he's such a this and that.
He's still a character.
But what a character he is.
I tell you, there's a lot of people who come out and say they don't want him as the next United manager. But all those people, as soon as he became United manager and as soon as he acted like that, them would love him.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to have him at Spurs. Like, he's
a winner as well.
Yeah, he's a winner. And I love the interviews as well, and I love the fact that he said, because he was talking about they've been really disappointed with Real Madrid so far this season, because he said they haven't been playing with any heart. They haven't had the desire that they had last year against the lower
team. But when it comes to Barcelona and Man City, they raise their game. But he wants it throughout the season, which is.
And he said that he was after the game that he said he was really happy with his performance because he said my team's back.
Yeah.
He said my team's back.
Yeah.
You know, we're 2-1 down to 5 minutes to go. They showed that bottle to get back in the game. Yeah. And I love the fact as well that I know it's all hype and I know it's all deflection, but when they lose, he said, when my team loses, it's my fault.
Yeah.
He said it's my fault because I haven't gotten mentally prepared.
And when he was saying they went out and won and they were going to the it's not me. Like,
no, he takes the bad stuff he takes on himself and the good stuff he praises his players for. And I think, and it is all media bullshit and stuff like that, but he protects them. And I think he's a fantastic character.
Any other stand-down performances?
I've got one. It's a stand-down and slightly stand-up. Peter Odemwingo for his violent. It's just out of nowhere as well.
It's
brilliant.
Absolutely larruped him.
He just went mad.
It's not even like the geezer like gave him a little nickel. Yeah, it was just a tackle.
It was from nothing. That's the thing. It just went crazy. He got sent off. But what I did like about it, talk about interviews again, he actually came and faced the cameras and said, "Look, it's my fault, I put my hands up."
I didn't see the interview, is that what he did?
Yeah, he came out and said, "It's my fault, I put my hands up, I let down my team, I let down my manager, the fans and everything." Which is fair play, and you don't see that very much in football, so stand down, and then a bit of a stand down.
Yeah. Sorry, not a stand down, but just another mention's got to go to Yaya Toure. What an unbelievable player that boy is.
I would love to see him running with the ball at a rhino playing chicken to see him stop. Because I reckon the rhino would pull up 10 yards.
It's the old movable object in the unstoppable force, isn't it? He is. How that boy can go from being in his own half to get like nicking the ball away from someone, but 0.4 seconds later is on the edge of the other penalty box, about to score at the other end. He's unbelievable.
When he runs around the pitch, he genuinely looks like he can't actually run.
And he looks like he's knackered.
Yeah,
he always looks like he's knackered, but
give him the ball. What an athlete. Unbelievable.
James, in a very polite schoolboy way, you just had your hand up. Is there something you'd like to say?
Yeah, the Ibrahimovic goal for which he got the massive arrest.
Yes.
Was it just a penalty?
Yeah. It was just a penalty.
I don't know why he got so excited.
But to be fair, it might be a reverse of the old Bruce Grobbelaar tactics, trying to put the goalkeeper off. I mean, just have a little reach around, build it up a bit before you take the penalty. Keeper doesn't know where to look.
A little reach around.
I just don't understand that. He's got a... All right, it's a penalty, though. And it was like putting 1-0 up.
Yeah.
1-0 up. I can't understand it. If he got his lob on or something, or like an overhead kick, or... lob on.
Stand-down performance.
Stand-down performance. Mine's a little bit different. Usually our stand-down performances are people that have just really fucked up.
I've got one of them after you.
Go with yours. We'll finish on mine, because it's quite a nice finish.
Right.
And it's poignant.
Well, actually... It might be
not the,
same
the show
thing.
We're not going to finish the show.
No, it might be. It's not the same thing, is it?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Oh, Ipswich.
No.
Alright, cool.
Paul Jones doing a bit there, and he's just...
Ipswich are in massive trouble, aren't they? Second bottom. Are they still second bottom?
Second bottom.
Well, we called it last week. We said how many goals they conceded.
Yeah, 11 at the moment.
I mean, they were, and it doesn't help when one of your centre backs scores probably one of the most entertaining own goals I've ever seen. He's, the ball's come at the back post, it's come through, and he's sort of tried to chest it away, but ended up belly flopping onto the ball. Tommy Smith, he's belly flopped onto
Tommy
the
Smith
ball.
Is Tommy Smith not a striker, or is it a different Tommy Smith?
It must be a different Tommy Smith.
Yeah.
Cardiff.
Must be
there we go, different it's, Tommy Smith, sorry.
So he sort of belly flopped on the ball, sort of fallen on it, and it's just bounced into the back of the net, and it was going out for a corner. I mean, it was appalling. I know I need to learn to describe better, but it was basically a belly flop that turned into an absolutely shocking goal. He could have hooked it away with his foot. He decided just to try and fall on the ball, and it just fell in the back of the net.
Well, go on, Jim. Use your poisoning and see.
When was that game for Ipswich?
That was
against Wolves, 2-0.
Yeah, last night.
Oh, last night. That's why I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Terry Brown, AFC Wimbledon, has literally stood down. They lost last night. They've lost 6 out of 7, I think, this season. They lost to Torquay 1-0.
Yeah.
Am I right there? Jay's
no, they've,
checking
lost, they've lost yeah. 5 out of 7, 1-1, drawn 1.
Yeah. Okay. They lost to last night 1-0 to Torquay, and came off the pitch in absolute floods of tears.
17 goals conceded, though, as well.
Yeah, they've had an absolute
night.
Shocker. But, I mean, what he did for that club, the way he brought them through the leagues and into that league... I spoke to a woman I found this morning. They absolutely love him to bits. It's really
I
sad.
I thought you just said, I spoke to a woman I found this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, where did you find this woman?
Just around.
I found it. Sorry, a Wimbledon fan.
Do you
fan
like
this
Terry
morning,
Brown? Yes, just please let me out of here, Jim.
But, yeah, so... fair play and all respect to Terry Brown.
Is it a case
not sure
of he's taken them as far as he can?
I think so. Not sure whether he's actually stood down or been sacked or whatever, but he's left the club. So, like AFC Wimbledon, I love AFC Wimbledon to bits for what they've done and what they represent and everything like that. So I just wanted to mention that. And names in the hat already, Laurie Sanchez, rubbish at Barnet last season, hope they don't get him, but obviously scored that goal for them. Andy Scott, do a good job for him. But stronger is Harry Bassett, might
come back.
Maybe in just a caretaker role, but I would love Harry Bassett back in league football.
Well, I think Harry Bassett should have got the England job, personally.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I'd love him to be back.
I don't know, speaking of just the lower leagues, I don't know why this just popped in my head, but I remember I was going to look up our mate, what's his name?
Learn to describe better.
Yeah, you're right. Southend player, my favourite.
Milan Moshnik,
yeah.
But he didn't play on Saturday.
No.
He didn't play on Tuesday, rather.
No, he had a trial at West Ham. West Ham.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show.
No, we said somewhere. We weren't sure where it was. It was West Ham.
They sent him back.
And he really, really pissed off the Southend bosses for going for a trial there. So that was a couple of weeks ago. I need to get another update on that. But quite a big step going.
To be fair, they needed back in the team. They were awful the other night.
Really?
So playing against 10 men, they had no ideas at all.
You had Jules went down to 10?
Jules had 10 men for the whole of the second half.
Oh, right, bloody hell.
And Southend still didn't even look like scoring. Awful.
Well, I have to say, I think unsolicited trials leads quite nicely into naughty boys.
It does.
Does anyone else have a naughty boy?
I got one.
Or should I start? Go on then, Daniel.
I got one. Well, it's not, you know, it's not a part of some of our usual standard naughty boys, but I think Denver Barr is a naughty boy. He's throwing his toys out of the pram, isn't he?
Well, the worry for Newcastle is, though, they could lose him for $7 million in January, and with Liverpool sniffing around for a striker.
Well, this is it. Well, I'm not going to lie, I'd love him at Spurs. We've only got two.
I think there's an awful lot of clubs who would take him. I think Chelsea.
He's top scorer, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's top scorer at the moment.
There's a couple of lightweight clubs, Premiership clubs. on up front. We used to talk about. I think Arsenal's a bit lightweight.
Arsenal, yeah.
Tottenham's a bit lightweight. Chelsea and Liverpool, all a bit lightweight.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, in fact, yeah. You look at the only one that's probably not is United.
Yeah, who's quite
United and City, really.
Because we just buy strikers. We don't buy any other position. We just buy strikers.
But he's he's trying to sort, and obviously he's really pissed off Pardew, isn't he? Pardew's basically come out and said, well, if he's not happy, he's going to whinge about it, he can fuck off in January.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's a good attitude. I've got another striker who's a naughty boy, Danny Welbeck, not just for diving.
He doesn't mind a little dive, does he?
Oh, it's been
Danny?
Terrible the last week. It's not done him any favours.
For England and for United, wasn't it now?
It's almost like, with his haircut, when Uncle Phil used to throw Jazzy Jeff out the house on the sprints.
Yes.
It's just like that. But that. Danny Welbeck was caught speeding recently.
Yes,
he was. And he went to court and he hired Mr. Loophole, Nick Freeman, who was previously represented clients such as Steve McFadden.
That's a great surname for a lawyer. Freeman.
Yes.
Yes, please, Derek.
He specialised in getting people off speeding charges. So Steve McFadden, Jeremy Clarkson.
Steve McFadden.
Steve McFadden, Phil Mitchell, yeah. Jimmy Carr, Wayne Rooney, Dwight York, Lee Bowyer, Woodgate, and Paul Lintz's wife. But Danny Welbeck was charged £65 for speeding.
Oh,
Mr. Loophole noticed that the standard charge is only £60. So got £5 knocked off Danny Welbeck's charge.
Wow, what a man.
And you think, my God, where is the self-awareness?
Speaking of, everyone you mentioned there, you did not mention the speeding tickets, Andre Santos, who could face a prison sentence.
Well, yeah, it's
the other day, you know, because he was doing 130 miles an hour and then tried to evade police. We talked about it the other day. He apparently genuinely can be, is potentially going to be going to prison.
Wait. It's looking.
He was on the bench the other day for
Arsenal. It'll be interesting to see. But I've got another naughty boy as well. Although I think we'll think he's a great boy.
Brilliant.
Channel 4 reporter, I can't remember the name, but he was on the news the other day, doorstepped Kelvin McKenzie in a tabloid style. So when Kelvin McKenzie came out of his house, he was there asking him questions all about Hillsborough.
Channel 4 news last night. I watched it and I was watching it.
It's
that as well.
We'll get the video up online, but he gave him a real taste of his own medicine.
Oh, he would. He wouldn't let him shut the door, would he? And he went and he was like, he was like, please, be reasonable. But reasonable? You're talking to me about being reasonable?
Stuck in, yeah.
Oh, mate, and he was trying to slam the door. It looked like he took a couple of nasty blows to the shoulder.
Channel 4 have stuck by him. He was completely justified doing it. So.
Kelvin McKenzie was saying, look, I'm just going to talk about all of this next week. I'm going to explain everything next week. So he's obviously got some sort of plan and interview lined up and in place. But he was Adam, I think his name was. I think it was Adam. Like, just please leave it. Yeah. He'd be like, leave it alone. And he's trying to slam the door, and he's standing in the doorway, slapping the door. He's like, no, just tell us why. I'll tell you next week. It was a great.
We'll
bit
get
footage,
that up on the website. Yeah, but it was brilliant stuff.
Yeah, really good.
Really deserved.
A couple of bits of news from me. Comtu appointed Robbins, who's the new manager.
They have. Poor Phil Brown.
Which is interesting, yeah. Phil Brown and Chris Wilder as well at Oxford, because since he got, it's been like the Spurs situation in League Two. Because Chris Wilder was rumoured to be one of the favourites for the Coventry job. They've lost about 4 games in a row since that happened, so hopefully, well, I say hopefully, a support League Two team. Maybe Oxford will now start winning some games again. And also, our friends at the Real FA Cup. It's the FA Cup again this weekend.
Yeah.
Premium rounds and what have you, and it's got to this stage. The map is up. We've talked about this before. If you go on to therealfacup.co.uk/map, you go on there, you can find out where you are and what the nearest game to you is. So I look at the nearest game on Saturday to where we are sitting in this pub is Waltham Forest versus Hampton and Richmond. Or equidistant Cray Wanderers versus Thamesmead Town.
Yeah.
So there you go. But like, to anyone listening, if you haven't got a game at the weekend or your team's playing away, go on to that website, therealfacup.co.uk/map. Whatever. And just have a look what's near, and then go onto their website. The links will be on the FA Cup website, the Real FA Cup website as well. It's fantastic, absolutely
it's
fantastic.
It's a great idea, isn't it? It's a really great idea. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm playing at the weekend. Might get another hat trick. Did I mention I've got a hat trick last night?
Oh dear. Well, on other slightly crazy news after Dan's hat trick, the Brazil 2014 mascot has been revealed. Have you seen this? Ronaldo revealed it.
Is it Emil Heskey?
It's an armadillo.
Yeah. They haven't named it yet.
No. I personally think that our listeners should tweet us and let us know what they think it should be called. an armadillo. It'd be nice to get some tweets that aren't abusive. Please don't abuse us on Twitter. Complaints to at Simon Hill. I don't know how many times we've
had a lot of stick recently, haven't we? Yeah. I mean, we do get a lot of positive stuff.
Yeah, just send it to at Simon Hill.
But we've had a lot of stick recently. But speaking of World Cups. Speaking of World Cups, Firas sent us a message on Facebook. Really interesting. In talking about that he's looking forward to think Arsenal on the turn, whatever, fuck off.
We love you, Firas.
He said, he's just got back from Qatar. I thought it was really interesting. He just got back from Qatar and saw some of the foundation constructions for the 2022 World Cup. Is the stadiums are.
Shall we talk about erections at the moment?
Not again. You've already used erections for a pun.
But we are talking about
erections on
stadiums.
AC stadiums and artificial clouds in the stadium are being worked on to address the heat, apparently. So they're making artificial clouds, something. If they pull it off, it would be amazing. All new stadiums are made up of 75% recyclable material, so that after the World Cup, they'll knock them down and use them in other building products. So it sounds like, because we're giving it a load of shit, aren't we? I'm still very sceptical about the fact that you're paying 40 degree heat, but the fact that they're already looking at making artificial clouds to help prevent the heat, and they're using resources, natural resources, recyclable material.
And the other 25% is going to be made of the bones of the gay men they kill because they're not allowed to go and celebrate. Watching the World Cup.
But apart from that, but thanks for sending that in for us. Great to get a bit of insight into how things are coming for preparation for Qatar.
Well, we mentioned Emil Heskey a few moments ago, and he's on the verge of joining Newcastle Jets. But Dan, you've also
is he not done yet?
He's agreed terms apparently, but there's another exciting name going to Australia. Which Dan is going to tell us about.
I think old Del Piero's opened up a little can of worms here. So we've got Del Piero has gone to Sydney FC,
isn't it?
Heskey going to Newcastle Jets, potentially Michael Ballack going to none other.
Well, we talked about him.
Going to none other than Western Sydney Warriors.
Oh, okay. Wanderers.
Warriors.
That's a good update from you, as usual, though.
I like the Warriors.
No, describe better then.
That is exciting, isn't it? And we'll be following them. We talked about Ballack as being a potential signing for someone that really needs to get some bodies in.
Western Sydney, a brand new team, it's bizarre, isn't it, though? You think, and supposedly, according to Michael, when we were chatting about it, supposedly he approached them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Is the rumour. So, what's this space? Because, there could be. We asked if Del Piero going there could start an influx of decent players, and it looks like it could be. I say decent players, Emre Heskey might be going, but you know what I mean?
He's alright.
Two things before Mike does the sweep around. Fixtures looking forward to Liverpool Man United in the Premier League this week.
It's going to be a tense one.
In the Championship, Blackpool at home to Huddersfield. Huddersfield got a good win against Sheffield Wednesday, and they are absolutely flying. League One, Crawley doing quite well at home to top of the league, Tranmere. And then League Two, the one we've already mentioned, Port Vale Gills, which is second versus top. And we've got some more reviews. We have got four more reviews since our last show.
Bloody hell.
And even better news, the average rating has gone up from 4 out of 5 to 4.5 out of 5.
Come on!
I'm going to sweep through them quickly. Ian Jono. Decent little podcast. I normally just listen to the Anfield Rappers. I'm a Liverpool fan. The Anfield Rap is amazing as well. Even if you're not a Liverpool fan, but it's interesting to listen about other teams below the Prem and in Europe. Good bit of banter too. Boss work, boys, keep it up. I like boss work.
Proper scouts.
Next one is from Paul Sparrow. Top podcast, been listening since the beginning. Real football fans talking about real football issues. Jim Staples knows his stuff.
Ooh.
Michael Coxon's very funny. And there's a bloke called Dan who's a bit of an idiot but makes me laugh. Please never ever stop podcasting, guys.
We won't.
Five stars. This is from Pubcaster 17, cracking show, 5 stars, and then the comment, #, learn to describe better.
Is
that from Stuart Harbour, because he's the 17th best podcast?
Possibly. And then the latest one, which was yesterday, which is...
That was only 4 stars, bastard.
Yeah, well, true. Cholton 1975, been listening since the glory days of Dan Ferdinand and Simon Pinkney. It's a cracking podcast and never ceases to make me smile. Keep up the good work, boys. Hashtag nearly as good as the football ramble. We'll take that.
To be honest, anyone that describes anything to do with Dan Ferdinand as the glory day has got to do something.
But I quite like, I think the 4-star bit, I think it's almost like it's a genuine review.
And it makes it look like it isn't us writing all the
news. Yeah, that's true. The other ones were just
that. I didn't really like, though, after last week's show, I think it was one of the Liverpool fans, guy tweeted us saying, I'm really sorry I can't remember your name, but I just remembered it now. So really respectful or great review.
Do you not know his name?
No.
Again, learn to describe better than what you say.
But he said, thank you very much, really appreciate it, which is really nice.
But Ian Jono, Memory is Ram is his username on Twitter. So Ian Jono, Paul Sparrow, Podcaster 17 and Cholton 1975, thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Always appreciate it, and we will always give you a shout out if you review us.
Absolutely.
Even if it's bad.
I'm not actually that. No, thanks a lot, Paul Sparrow.
I like Paul Sparrow.
We like Paul Sparrow.
We love Paul.
One last sad bit of news this week, which was the death of Brian Woolner, legendary sports writer and host of the Sunday Supplement.
I never really used to watch the Sunday Supplement, but I used to put it on and be like, oh, the goal's on Sunday's on in a minute. Never used to watch it, but I wish I had, because from what everyone's
very
saying,
very well respected, and terrible time. Our thoughts go out to his family at this time.
He followed England for years and years.
There was a really nice interview with the current son and a footballer. I can't remember his name. And basically said that, I mean, had nothing but praise. Said that, you know, he was the dad. He said sometimes if news was coming through and there was an opinion about something, it wasn't actually validated until Brian Woolnough said it was. And he was the daddy.
Well, even Alex Ferguson's come out.
Just going to say that, And you know, when something like that happens and everyone all across the board, including people inside football, because apparently he asked some pretty tough questions.
What Fergie said, wasn't it? Fergie went, he knew how to ask some questions. He went, sometimes too good. and it was just really nice to see Fergie going, you know, like, to give the respect to that other side. Because a lot of negative chat and lots of negative vibe between football managers and the press. When you see something like that and someone like Fergie giving respect to someone like that, it's really nice to see.
Football's bloody good, isn't it?
I bloody love it.
Bloody good.
Even better when you score a hat trick.
See you next week.
Right.